Everybody, Pastor Kevin here. We are in part 9 of our Foolproof series, and we're going to be looking at money and finances and wealth, and what does the book of Proverbs have to say about that? And so I've entitled this message, Wisdom with Money, today, and money is something that we all get. We all hope to want and have more of it, most likely. And so what does the Bible say about it? And how do we steward it well? How do we manage it? What does wisdom around money look like? And man, we live in a consumeristic society, and we're so inundated with consumerism that that's the posture of our culture. We're so inundated with, we just need to get more, get the newest thing, the latest thing, upgrades, updates. And we have this lie that if I get all those things will be better, I'll be better, life will be better. And there's nothing wrong with nice things, there's nothing wrong with purchasing some things, but that message in the culture many times drives and works against generosity, works against, matter of fact, it sends us sometimes down into slavery, to debt and difficulty that way. And so the Bible has a lot to say about it. Jesus had a lot to say about it. We're going to be looking primarily at Proverbs today and what it has to say about wisdom around money. And so I hope we can shift today from that consumeristic mindset and acknowledge it, recognize that we're all impacted by it, and shift to what does it look like to fall and work in this alignment with God's grace around generosity and wise money handling. Because the message from the culture is, what can I get? But what if we shift it to, what can I give? What if your bigger question every day, mine was, how can I give today? Who do I give to today? God, how do you want me to be that blessing that you've called me to be? What do you want to release through my hands today? Encouragement, finances, prayer, expression. But today we're going to talk primarily about money. So Proverbs 1:7 has been our theme verse. Let me read it to you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so this awe, worship-filled respect for God, we honor him in such a high place that everything else in our life is aligned and flows from that. And so, of course, that's Matthew 6:33, right? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto you. So we get that hub, God first position, right? Everything else starts to align. And that's one of the ways we obviously are honoring the Lord in every way. And so Proverbs, here's one of our theme verses for today's message. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. So we're in this agricultural society. When this was written, most everything was done, grain and crops. Now we live in an area where we see that around us all the time, especially now in the harvest season of summer. We're seeing grain fields and lentil fields and all the different crops being harvested. And this was the language of this time. And he's saying here, Proverbs is saying, honor the Lord with your wealth. So all that you've accumulated, your assets, the business, the grain, the wine, the grapes, all these consumer products that are given here are talked about. And look what it says when it says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. So we're going to unpack that passage a bit and some more as we go through today's message. And so I want to, right up front, the next on your screen, you should see three big points, which is receive, manage, and give. Receive, manage, and give. So I'm going to frame the whole message with those three things. And receive, what do I mean by that? To see and accept something that is given to you. And then manage is to take good care of and grow what's in your care. And then give with a cheerfulness and a liberality that we see that it's receive it, we manage it, and then we get to release it or give it as God leads. And so that's going to be the frame, and I've got multiple points under each one of those things, all right? So here's what I do know is that you can only give what you've received. You can only give what you've received. We're receiving things all the time, but sometimes we're receiving things, and sometimes we have things, right? Sometimes we have things that we don't even realize are in our care, that we don't even realize, we don't even see them, because maybe they're not physical, right? But as we get understanding, as we get knowledge, God will grow that. He'll not only grow our receiver, but he'll grow our generosity because of that. And so when Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, how do we start, how do we honor the Lord at first? How do we do that? Well, I think the first posture or the first mindset is actually seeing and accepting what you've received. What's been given to you? What's been entrusted to you? And so I have multiple thoughts under this, but here's the first one under receive. Again, see and accept something that's given to you. Here's the first one. Eternal life. Receive eternal life and purpose. You might go, I am a Christian, Kevin. Awesome. But have you, I think actually I know you see and accept it at some level, but have you unpacked the depths of what you've received? I think that takes a lifetime. Honestly, I think you can see and learn more about that every day. But let me read you a classic verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Okay, I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this, but a little bit of time. And there's one nuance in here that I want to point out that I think will maybe grow your receiver a little bit. Many times we read this verse and we see, okay, yeah, God loves the world. So God is, he's communicating to all races, all backgrounds, all moral conditions, to all people all around the world. Hey, I love you. I made you. And I want a better life for you, a life that I've called you to. And then he says, he gave his only son. He gave Jesus, one and only son. God's love leads to his action on our behalf. He gave love that's real, that always gives. I mean, God is an over-the-top giver. He's the most generous. He is the model for generosity, right? And it says, and he gave his only son that what? Whoever believes, whoever has faith, stirs up faith, full trust in that God did this on their behalf, that he gave Jesus, and Jesus came, and he died, and he was buried, and he rose again. It doesn't matter what your ethnic background, what your social background, what your economic status is. You can accept the gift that God gives. He gives it. And if you believe in him, full trust, reliance, surrender your life to Jesus, and he's your Savior and Lord, you'll be saved. But then, and then look what it says, though. It says, he did this, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, the most clear understanding here is should not perish, but have eternal life. That if you accept what Christ has done, you will no longer be separated from God, but you'll be in relationship with God and have eternal life forever. Beautiful. We all want that. That is truly true. You were spiritually lost before Jesus, and you accepted and put your faith and trust in him. And now, if you accept, put your faith and trust in him, you're not. You're in relationship. You're saved. You're going to heaven. It's beautiful. But there's this word perish, means you won't be destroyed. But also, it has a nuance. It also means that you won't lose your purpose. To not perish or to not lose the purpose of which you were designed to walk in, right? So for instance, so Jesus saves us not from just going to hell, and he saves us so that we can go to heaven and be with him forever and not face that separation, but he also saves us so that we can walk fully in the purpose that God's designed for us. And so if you're lost and you're not saved, you're not going to fulfill your purpose, the very thing that you were designed to do. As a matter of fact, if you look at like Luke 15 and the parables of the lost sheep and the coin and the lost son, you see that each person or each item is not destroyed, but it is not fulfilling its purpose until they were found and restored. Same here. He's saying, when you and I, because of Christ's incredible gift of love and sacrifice, He restores our purpose. Yeah, so beautiful. And that purpose being that we are distributors of God's love to the world around us. And then when you see that you've received not just eternal life, but you've received purpose and a plan, all of a sudden your life gains meaning and significance. And it's not just a get out of hell free card. It's I got purpose on this planet today. And so when you think about receiving something like that, it requires humility to accept and acknowledge that Christ did this on our behalf and that we didn't earn it, that we don't deserve it, but his love is so immense for us that he gives it to us. And so we have to admit our need, and we have to admit we had a problem, and we come to Christ, we humble ourselves, and he saves us. It's a beautiful, and I think it's actually at the point where we accept and see and acknowledge what that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, that our receiver is truly awakened. Our real receiver is awakened to not only to God's divine purposes, yes, but his eternal life, yes, but every day the opportunity we have to walk in that here on this planet, to live, we're new creations, it says, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, and we have a beautiful life he's designed for us. Life not without heartache, not without difficulty. So receive first eternal life and purpose, and then also receive, the second thing is receive that God chose you to be a blessing. And we go back to Genesis, and we're trying to honor the Lord. We have to recognize too that he chose us to be a blessing from the very beginning. And the Abrahamic blessing here in Genesis 12:2-3, let me read it. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless you. I'll bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So in you and I, as in Christ, as believers in Jesus, as followers of Jesus, as his disciples, his apprentices, we now, that blessing will flow through us now. We're grafted in and into the family, and we're part of that blessing, and we get to extend that blessing to others. So it's a beautiful thing. God wants to bless you to be a blessing. Now, I've said this many times in messages, but I created a word called receiverosity, and I put the definition on the screen because this is part of this receiver. You can only be as generous as you see and acknowledge how much you've received. And the greater revelation of what you've received, the greater revelation of what you can give and you can act on it. Receiverosity, positioned to enjoy, manage, and release God's generosity as he directs, seeing that we are conduits of God's blessing. And that is so cool to think that you and I are distributors of God's blessing. He pours in. We have some things, in the area of finances and money. We have wealth and money that he gives us. You might go, I'm not wealthy, Kevin. Well, whatever he gives you, that's what he's putting in your hands. That's what he calls us to not only use to take care of our needs, but also to do good works for him, to bless other people. It's a beautiful thing. Now, we obviously have finances, but we have our time and our gifts, those talents, all that is also under his care, and he gives an entrust to us as well. But today we're focused mostly on finances. And so to receive, again, to see and accept something that's given to you, and then generosity, that cheerfulness and liberality in giving. Combine those two words, receiverosity, right? And I know I like it, because maybe because I came up with it, but I feel like God gave it to me because he's like, Kevin, your generosity is directly linked to your receiver. And if your receiver is small, if you don't see and don't acknowledge how much has been given to you by God and maybe by others and from God through others, it's limiting your giver. So the grow the receiver, grow the giver. So the next one is not just to see that you've been chosen to be a blessing, but also recognize this. When you receive, recognize that God is stretching your capacity. God's stretching your capacity. So let's go back to this Proverbs 3 verse 9 and 10. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth. So as you and I honor the Lord with our wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. It means we're being productive. It means we're working hard and things are growing. And it says, verse 10 says, when you honor the Lord with all of that, the best part, with your wealth, your finances, the assets in your care, it says, then he, God, will what? Fill your barns with grain, and your vats will overflow with good wine. You see the promise, you see that the principle here is, as you and I steward the things God puts in our care, in this case, grain and wine, right? as you honor the Lord with that, you acknowledge, God, I see that you've given me access to farming, to grapes, to vineyards. And as I till the land and I work the land, and as I manage the money that comes in through that and the crops that come in, as I do that and grow that, because you've given me something, I want to grow it. God wants us to invest and grow what he gives us. It says, then God releases a blessing. And he actually, and as he's releasing the blessing, what is he doing? He's stretching your receiver capacity. He's like, I gave you this much before, but now as you've stewarded it well, I'm stretching your receiver. And that stretches our capacity to receive, but also to give, right? It's so cool. I was recently at a wedding just in the last month. And we were, it was at the rehearsal dinner night. It was a big gathering, and it was a friend who was in her mid-50s, and both the groom and the bride were in their mid-50s, and amazing people, like really generous people, really had poured into many other people, and one after another, people got up and shared how these two, this couple, and I was specifically sitting by the bride and near her, and as a few were sharing about her, she was just weeping as they were telling story after story about how much her life had impacted theirs. And she turned to me and said, Kevin, I don't know if I can take much more. I mean, it's so hard to receive so much encouragement and so much love. And I said to her, I know. I said, it looks to me like God is stretching your receiver. And she went, and she kind of sat back. She's like, yeah, I think you're right. I go, the good news is as you receive this encouragement, as you receive this love, and as you see, you get to, in one setting, see how, you know, just a snapshot of so many people who've been impacted by your life, and to hear it and to receive it, it's going to stretch and grow. And I know it was growing her receiver. And I said, the good news is, you're such a giver. I go, you're going to be even more generous. It's beautiful. And she went, wow. Never thought about that. So I just want to tell you, I've seen it in my own life, and I believe that God does that for all of us. So that's the receiving. That's the first point, is just to receive, to just see and acknowledge what's been given to you and what's even, and then God's going to stretch that, and it's all rooted in the gospel. It's all rooted in the fact that Jesus did it on our behalf. So here's the second point, is this manage, this idea of management and stewardship. And again, that means when it's in your care, you know, you're managing, you're taking care of it. And steward means this, it means to manage. And I put that on the screen for you. If we have to recognize, everything in our care comes from God, right? It's all God's. He's actually the true owner, and we manage it. It's all his. And actually, it really helps. I feel like maybe one way to say this is, you need an owner mentality, but you recognize, first of all, as we honor the Lord, what we're doing is we're saying, God, actually, I know that you own it all, and you give me or entrust to me certain things to manage. And as our receivers get stretched, our capacity gets stretched, and as we steward well, God entrusts more to us, more money, more responsibility, more leadership, more impact, more influence, right? And it's amazing. And God has, I think, different capacities for different people, different gifts, different amounts. I'm not saying that everybody will be rich financially, meaning you're all going to be multimillionaires if you just receive better. I don't know what God's plan is directly for you, but the point is, whatever he gives you, whatever gifts and experiences and people in your life and finances, he wants you to steward that well, manage that well, and he wants you to invest it. He wants you to grow it. And when you do that, it releases a blessing, like that's been mentioned here in Proverbs 3. And that blessing, he said, he's going to fill your barn. He's going to overflow your vats. He's going to stretch you. He's going to bless you so that, not so you can just consume it all, so that you can enjoy some of it, but that you'll be able to release it to other people. So good. All right, so Proverbs 27:23-24 says, know the state of your flocks and put your heart into caring for your herds, for riches don't last forever, and the crown might not be passed to the next generation. So know the state of your flocks. Know the condition of your household. Know where your money's going. Know how much you have. Know where your accounts are. All the financial stuff, all the household stuff, what's coming in, what's going out. Don't be loosey-goosey about this. Like, really pay attention to it. You are called to manage it, right? It's God's. He gave it to you. And I get the challenges of this. This is challenging, but I want you to take the seriousness of, we are managers of God's stuff, all that He's given us, and it's big. And He's saying, when you know the state, which means you're invested in it, you're seeing it, you're looking at it, you're evaluating it, you're checking it. You're not just spending loosely all the time. That you do have. What the next point is that managers have a plan. They have a plan, and Proverbs 21:5 talks about planning a lot, but here's just one verse. Good planning, 21:5, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. So it's basically saying don't spend, and don't be willy-nilly about your finances. Don't be willy-nilly about your work. Willy-nilly, I don't know why I'm using that term, but don't be hasty. Don't be casual. Don't be, like, take your work seriously. Work hard. Have a plan. This is important, right? Have a prayerful plan with God and see, wait a minute, okay, this is God's. This would be no different. Maybe a simple way to say is if you were going to house sit somebody's house. I remember in my 20s, I got asked to house sit several times, and never owned a house in the early 20s. I think I was 19, 20, and I didn't own a home, and still kind of living at home actually. And so, but when someone asks you to house sit, you're like, oh man, a sense of responsibility, a sense of, oh wow, okay, I'm in charge of making sure this place is safe and clean and protected, and it's not mine, it's somebody else's. They're just gone for 2 weeks, and I'm here to take care of it. It's amazing how you check things out, how you check the windows, how you lock the doors at night, how you make sure the yard's mowed, how you, like, you want to, you, if you're managing well, you're taking account of all those things, and you're serious about it. No different here. I think sometimes we don't take our finances and the money that's been given to us, entrusted to us through our jobs and another means, and we don't think about it as, it's all God's, and I'm just taking care of it. That's what's happening here. And so this plan is important. So good stewards grow what's been given to them. They work hard. They budget. So they have a written plan is key. That, just with your finances, a budget is so key. And that's number two, or the second thought here, or next thought, is that managers follow a budget. Managers follow a budget. I'm not going to get in the weeds on this, but a budget is just a documented plan of how to spend, save, give whatever is entrusted to you. And so I just put some points on there, like you prayerfully establish some financial goals. What are your financial goals? And savings, giving, investing. If you have kids, is there a plan for savings for college? Are you going to replace your car? When does it need to be replaced? You start saving for that. You're thinking ahead and you're planning accordingly. And you're doing that prayerfully. You track what's coming in and what's going out. You plan to spend less than you earn. You review your accounts and goals regularly. And you make adjustments as needed. Right? Because money is always moving. It's always moving in and it's moving out. And sometimes you're going to you should be biblically setting some aside in savings. And I believe you should be investing some. And you're giving, right? And we're talking about that. So following a budget, you're saying, and I know for me, like one of the ways that's been a battle for me is just keeping track of all of that, right? How do you keep track of all that? And especially, it's one thing if you're single, but then if you get married, you got two people spending all the time. And how do you keep track of all that? Well, I mean, there's lots of ways to do this, but I found with today's technology is that the Every Dollar app really works great. That's the Ramsey solution. And you can put it on your phones and it can link to your accounts and you can have you and your spouse connected, and you set your budget on there. It's just really nice, really easy, and you can run reports really easy. It's very intuitive, and I just like that I can always see where we're at, and I go, oh, groceries. We budgeted this much for groceries, and I know exactly how much we spent so far. I can see all the transactions, right? And of course, that's if you're using your debit card, if you're doing cash. You know, you could use an old school envelope system. That works too. If you put $100 in there, you spend $100, you're out, you know, or whatever it is. But find some way to keep track and review regularly. I mean, like every few days, you should be looking at your accounts. That's why I like that app, is I can see my transactions. I can see Shelly's transactions, and I can just put them in the right categories and go, oh, we had this much and now we have this much. Okay. And so everybody's on the same page. Oh, it just solves so many problems. All right. The next thing is that managers give regularly. And I'm going to get into that a little bit more here in a second. But what do I mean by give regularly? Well, give financially to your local church. If you're a part of a local church, you should be tithing. Tithing means 10%. Some people aren't at that point yet where they tithe 10%. Some people, we like at River City, we have about, I would say about 20% of the congregation gives regularly. Many of those people are tithing or beyond tithing, meaning beyond 10% of their income. But then there's a large group of people who are not. I mean, in America, they say the average Christian believer, average Christ follower, there's only about 4%, 4 to 5% who are actually tithing, which is kind of sad to me. And not sad because we need the money, we need your money. It's sad because God asks you to tithe. And it's a blessing to give. And so this is not a condemnation thing. This is just more like you're the one missing out on the blessing. But I would say if you're part of a local church, which you should be of some sort, you should be giving regularly to your local church and give at the point your faith is ready for. If you're like, I just don't see I can leap from 0 to 10%. Well, where's your faith at? And where does it get stretched at? Is it stretched at 3%? Or is it stretched at 5%? You know, is it stretched at, you're like, I could do 5%. Well, then ask God, could I do 6? You know, just not for anybody else's sake, but between you and God. And your local church, who is the place where you're fellowshipping and connecting, you should be giving there regularly. Just the big thing is to begin a habit of regular giving. The next thing is just the offerings. That's all other intentional giving, whether you're giving to other nonprofits or you're giving to missions organizations or whatever you're doing. There are things that people love to support regularly, and those would be called offerings. And then I just put my own category here, just spontaneous. You could put it under offerings, but I like the spontaneous, meaning the spirit-led giving as you're out and about. So even in your budget an amount that you can go, I'm, you know, if you have cash on. And just recently I've had some situations where I've had some abilities to just do some spontaneous giving. Several homeless people person situations where I felt a nudge to give. And you might go, oh, I don't do that. They're not going to use it correctly or whatever. I think if the Holy Spirit nudged you to do it without, it's God's, it's in God's hands. And in a couple of these situations, I've had some great conversations and was able to pray with people. That doesn't always happen. And I don't always go there, but I really felt like I was supposed to. And I'm just telling you, plan for some spontaneous giving. Just ask God, God, what are you up to? As a matter of fact, you as a congregation, the River City congregation a while back gave a spontaneous offering for a family who was living in a hotel, and $3,000 came in, and we were able to get permanent housing for that family, and that's been taken care of. It took a little while to get it nailed down, but we did, and it's so cool to see the congregation just very spontaneously be ready. Many people gave cash, but the collective, when we gave together, that spontaneity, everybody's bit worked together, and it brought in $3,000, and that's helped that family, you know, get into a situation so much better. So I love that. I love how God uses the spontaneity. Also, managers, not only do they follow a budget, they give regularly, but they save. And Proverbs talks about this. If you look at Proverbs 21:20, it says there is a desirable treasure and oil in the house of the wise, dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man squanders it. And so Solomon is communicating to us, listen, it's wise to save aside a bit, have a little bit, because there's things coming that you don't know, but you do know they'll be coming. Expenses, difficulty, challenges that you're going to need a little extra for. And so don't spend everything that comes in. Apportion some of that for giving, some of that for saving, some of that for your living expenses, but always save some. And, you know, Dave Ramsey, he always talks about get your emergency fund, get your $1,000 in savings, that's your first goal, and then you can shoot for that 3 months or that 6 months savings as a long-term extended goal. I think one of the things that's really helped me in this area of savings is just to make it automatic. In today's technology, you can do that when you can have your savings directly taken and put into your savings account automatically or out of your check automatically, however it works for you. But I just want to encourage you to make it automatic. And then the next thing here is that managers get out of debt. When you're managing well, you assess your debt load and you get out of debt, right? Work at that, put extra towards it. Pay the smallest one off first, right? Stop adding to the debt, get accountable. Proverbs 22:7 says, just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower is servant to the lender. The borrower is servant to the lender. We don't want to be in that place of being enslaved to anyone except to God, right? So not all debt. I don't believe all debt is bad, but a lot of times we're spending beyond our means. We're getting, because of that consumer culture we live in, we're like, I need that thing, and we won't wait and save for it. So that's the beauty of savings and the discipline of growing your saver. I like what Ramsey says about debt. He says, debt is not a tool. It's the method to make banks wealthy, not you. The borrower truly is slave to the lender. I know that in January, Tony and Kathleen are going to be doing, Master Biardino are going to be doing a financial peace Ramsey class. And so if that's something you want to grow in, it's a little ways away, but there's good books, there's good stuff online too. But if you're thinking, yeah, man, I might do that, you know, if you want to wait till January, just make a note to yourself. And the other thing is managers are integral. Look at Proverbs 11:1. It says, the Lord detests the use of dishonest scales, but he delights in accurate weights. In other words, in your financial dealings, in your business dealings, in your work dealings, be honest, be integral. Don't try to get away with stuff. Be integral. God just detests it. He hates it when we're dishonest and not integral. It's just misalignment that way really messes things up. God can't bless that. And you want to be blessed. You want to receive the blessing and distribute the blessing, right? So the first thing, the big thing was receive. The second was manage. And now the third one is give. Just the blessing. First thought here is just the give means give with a cheerfulness and liberality. Giving is just the blessing of generosity. And Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So where your heart is really matters. And when you're giving, you want to give from a place in a posture of heart, not because some guy like Kevin Beeson, a pastor at River City Church, is saying you should do it. What's the Bible say? Hopefully you never feel, I try never to put pressure on people to give, because I want them to give from a place of heart, of their heart being God's convicting them, and they're like, yeah, I see. And I guess for me, I don't know why people don't give. I mean, once you've done it and tasted it and you went, oh, this is how God designed it. Yeah, when you honor the Lord, as Proverbs 3 says, with the best part, with your wealth, with the best part of everything you produce, that first part, that best part, you see God blesses it. And he blesses your everything else. He gives you more. He entrusts you with more. And it's so fun to give. It's so great. And so God loves it. And look at 2 Corinthians 9:7. A couple from the New Testament. He says, you must each decide in your heart, there it is, how much to give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. There it is. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. So that's why I say, when I say talk about tithing, I say give at the place where your faith is, or slightly beyond that, where you feel like God is stretching your faith, right? So just start. If you go, I can see this is true, but I'm struggling to get there. Just start somewhere and start getting consistent. And that's the next one, is that the give, when it comes to the give area, so the generosity is the overarching thing, but then tithe is the first one. And I talked to you about that a little bit, but let me read Malachi 3:10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. God says you can test him in this. I don't believe that we're under the law to tithe. I believe in grace giving. I think tithing is the beginning of our generosity. And if you're like, tithing means 10%, right? So you're saying tithing is 10%. But if I'm not tithing, then, but here's the point. God is growing us, and you just need to start giving regularly and then keep asking him to stretch you. God, what's next? Is it 8% this year? Is it 10%? Is it 15%? And he might say, give to your local church, work up to that 10%, do that consistently. And then I want you to give in this situation, or I want you to give you this single mom who needs a car, and I want you to help her get a car. or there's this person over here that has this need needs to be met. Maybe their car repair, or maybe some kids that need something that you could help with. You know, just there's so many opportunities that God will lead you to if you begin to cultivate this heart of receiving and generosity. It's amazing. And so what a blessing there. And then the third thing is to give those offerings, like I mentioned, offerings that's all other intentional giving. Proverbs 19:17. Look at this. It says, if you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and he will repay you. Look at this. There's so many verses about helping the poor. And it says, if you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord. And you might go, I don't know what if they're going to steward it well, enough to take care of it well. Just God loves to help the orphan, the widow, the poor. And as you do that, God will bless you. He'll take care of you. He will. And 28:27 says, whoever gives to the poor will lack nothing. Look at that. But those who close their eyes to poverty will be cursed. That's maybe the more weighty part to take in mind, is that if you ignore the poor, if you shun the poor, that's you're opening yourself up to a curse. That's not good. Now, for Shelley and I, we love to give to the poor. One of the ways we do that is through River City's Global Missions Fund. We support internet, not only local missionaries and local partners, but people around the world who are starting schools in impoverished areas, who are helping orphanages, and Africa and India and schools and water wells. And oh my goodness, we do several things, but locally here at River City, we tithe, and then we give to the Global Missions Fund regularly, those two things consistently here, and then spontaneous offerings as well. But it's so fun to do that, and I just promise you that you'll love it. God will grow your receiver. And as a matter of fact, on August 17th, just in a few weeks, we're going to take an offering, receive an offering rather, for Tumaini Children's Home. Their water well ran dry, and they've got over 45 kids, and the team there, and Horace and Phyllis Lister, and those who help there. And so they've been like running on rainwater, and I think having to bring water in and buy water. So they need a new well. It's a very expensive venture, and they have to drill a well, because this one wasn't drilled properly, I guess, and needs to drill down even farther. And so we'll let you know more information about that. So in a couple weeks, this would be one of those offerings that you could do, that you could pray about. And so just even now, start praying, God, do you want me to give to that well in Kenya, at the Tumaini Children's Home, and see what God lays on your heart. And then the last thing here is just give spontaneous, with those spontaneous nudges, as I mentioned. Proverbs 11:25 says, the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Generosity is not just a Christian virtue. It is a spiritual discipline that leads us to freedom. Richard Foster. And I know that so many of you love to be generous. And so help us, God, stretch our receiver, help us to continue to manage well, and then to grow our generosity as our receiver grows and our management gets even better and better. Yeah, then God will grow our generosity. So I want to pray for you. I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for each person listening. I pray that one nugget, two nuggets today would help them. Would you, Holy Spirit, would you convict them? Would you show them what they need to know and what they need to do with this information that's been given, with this truth that's been laid out? I pray you grow all our receivers, stretch our capacity, and you grow all our givers as well, that our generosity would be that blessing that you've called us to be, that conduit, that river of blessing flowing out to the nations, to our neighborhoods, to our cities, to our families. In the name of Jesus, amen. Love you. Have a great week.